This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton flying solo this week as we had to make some changes for Liberty News Radio programming. This week is a special week for us. We are celebrating 15 years of The Political Cesspool. That's right, 15 years, a decade and a half of The Political Cesspool. And so, anyways, we'll be talking about that a little bit later since Sam, our producer extraordinaire, has some travel arrangements he needs to take care of. And since yours truly has to go to a birthday party that I can't afford for my daughter, we'll be recording this last minute. So, anyways, let's get right to it. First of all, there is no line of duty desk for the law enforcement community where an officer or member of the law enforcement community has been murdered. So, 2 weeks in a row, no murders of law enforcement officers. Also, very few line of duty deaths in terms of car accidents and so forth. Let's keep it up. Let's keep each other safe out there. Talking to you from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where World Series fever is in full effect. Everybody's got World Series fever except yours truly, because for the simple fact, members of the Houston Astros and or the Washington Nationals are not coming to your ceremonies, or they're not celebrating your accomplishments. You got a job, you got promoted, you retired, you changed jobs, I don't know, you won bingo. Guess what? These people are not coming towards to that celebration. But the good news is that since the Washington Nationals are in the World Series, the media has totally ignored the death of one Elijah Cummings. Elijah Cummings is a representative from the city of Baltimore, a real you-know-what hole. To me, Elijah Cummings is a real-life Clay Davis. Anybody that's a fan of The Wire knows Clay Davis was that smooth-talking politician who always taking money from donors, always working wheeling-dealing for the betterment of one Clay Davis. The media has been talking about Elijah Cummings. He's a civil rights icon, civil rights advocate, civil rights this, civil rights that. Well, I did some digging. Mr. Davis was not old enough to ride the buses down to the South for the Montgomery bus boycott, or he was not old enough to go to Woolworth, sit at the lunch counter. The only thing I could read about Mr. Cummings is that he helped desegregate the city pools in the city of Baltimore when he was a youngster. He said he was pelted with rocks and bottles and was not happy at all. But then again, if anybody's pelted with rocks and bottles, you wouldn't be happy. But if you notice, it's the same old civil rights fight. Oh, yeah, we went to this event for civil rights back in the 60s, and all these people flying the Confederate flags are pelting us with rocks and bottles. My question is, where are all these bottles coming from? Because, again, back in the day, you had the bottle deposit, and you paid a penny or nickel for that bottle of Coca-Cola and returned to the store for that penny or nickel. So, anyways, Elijah Cummings was lying in the state this week at the U.S. Capitol building for accomplishing nothing, complaining about illegal immigrant children having to defecate in an aluminum sheet, which is not true at all. In fact, the holding facilities for these children is much better than the conditions where they came from. They had a roof over their head. They had a blanket. They had running water. They had toilet facilities. They had toothbrush, shampoo, soap, take a bath, clean themselves off, three nutritious meals per day, shower facilities, indoor plumbing. I mean, it was almost like a hotel. And again, we spoke about this before. When a parent is arrested for a crime and brought to jail, central booking, the courthouse, the precinct, guess what? You don't bring the kid with them. The kid goes to CPS. So these illegal alien parents are lucky that they got to stay with the parents in the holding facility. But anyways, back to Elijah Cummings. He died at Johns Hopkins University Hospital, which is one of the most premier hospitals in the United States. He didn't go to the city-owned hospital. He didn't go to the health clinic. He didn't go to government hospital. He went to Johns Hopkins Hospital. And again, we said this last week. He's 68 years old. You know, he was in the twilight of his life. You know, it's time for him to step down. Nancy Pelosi's in her 70s. Standing Hoyer, he's got to be pushing 70. Chuck Schumer, he's in his 70s. And his parents, both of them are still alive. God bless them, in their 90s. You know, it's time to step down. I mean, but these people have held on to power so long that they don't want to give it up. That's why John McCain died in office, even though he was incapacitated. That's why Ted Kennedy died in office, even though he was incapacitated. And supposedly, Elijah Cummings was signing affidavits for Trump's impeachment. But once again, Elijah Cummings' death has been overshadowed by the National League champion Washington Nationals. And speaking of sports, recently, a man dressed up as a woman broke all sorts of cycling records for bicycling. It was a women's competition over in Europe, and this person that was born a man, and I don't know if he still has the man parts. I'm not going to ask, but he was breaking all these records, and when people criticized him, the press, about a man breaking women's records, he got all mad about it. Well, guess what? Because you're a dude. And we could thank the left on this one for ruining sports. Sports is a competition. It's obvious that, you know, you have male sports, you have female sports. When you play golf and you tee off, guess what? The women's tee is 20, 30 yards ahead of the male tee. Why? Because the men's tee, men have bigger, stronger bodies than women. That's just science. But since these people with mental illness cannot compete with men, they decide to compete as women against other women, even though they're men. Don't be fooled, folks. They're not transgender. They're not. They're men. About 45 years ago, comedian Andy Kaufman had a joke where he was the first intergender wrestler, would wrestle out of Memphis, and he'd only wrestle women. And then Jerry the King Lawler and Kaufman came up with a storyline that was made history. But again, that was a goof. And then in the 1990s, Warner Brothers released an awful picture called Joanna Man. And we're coming on our first break, so we'll be talking about Joanna Man, sports, what's going on in New York, and celebration of the political cesspool. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country, and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Okay, we are back. We are celebrating the Political Cesspool's 15th anniversary. Now, depending what time of day you're listening to this, or if you're listening to the archives, that was an awesome show. Thank you, James Edwards, for giving us 15 years of entertainment. Now, back to the sports. We got guys, and I'm saying guys, men, males, whatever, playing as women. And the authorities that run these organizations, sports organizations, they accept this. This is absolutely, and this is of course ridiculous. And of course, the media is not saying a word about it, other than you know, if you say something against this or raise the Bravo Sierra flag, you're labeled as a transphobic. Well, I mean, other than a few people that dress up as ladies that are definitely men, but could play the front line for the Chicago Bears, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not, you know, but I don't want them around my children. I don't want them around me. I just don't particularly care for them. We have nothing in common. I mean, again, they don't listen to 7-5 Radio. They don't listen to Liberty News Radio Network. They probably don't own firearms or things like that. But anyways, with this absolute degeneration of athletics, which became a laughing stock, don't be too surprised that another 10, 15 years that women's sports are dominated by these trannies. That you have the WNBA, which stands for the Women's National Basketball Association. You have a championship team that's just full of trannies. And the team that they beat for the said championship is also full of trannies. I mean, that's where we're looking at, and we're supposed to accept this. Well, folks, don't accept this. If you have kids in school, go to the school board, write the school board, and tell them, hey, I do not want my daughter going to the same restroom as a boy that says he's a girl. For my school, I've dressed it with the principal, and this principal has a good head on his shoulders, and said that, well, if we have one of those students, we're going to have the student use the restroom in the nurse office, so everybody is at ease. So I said, good, because, again, I'm trying to be involved with my kids' education as much as possible. So we have the gender issue in sports, but what's not to say that there's an age issue? I mean, look for people say, well, I'm not really 13. I'm really 5 years old. And you have kids way older than they are, or say that they are, playing in other sports and dominate those. If you remember about 10, 15 years ago, a Little League team from the Bronx had this kid that was much older than he was on his than he should have been. He was like 13, 14, and I guess the cutoff age is 12, and he was dominating the Little League playoffs, and the whole city of New York was ecstatic. And then they found out the kid was almost old enough to drive a car, and the team was disqualified. And the movie The Benchwarmers had a grown adult walk around with a birth certificate or a piece of paper that said, I am 12. But look for that coming down the road, and you heard it first on 7.5 Radio. I mean, this another issue you have to think about is that now we have boys or men competing in women's sports. What's going to happen with scholarships? Because I know of where my parents live, they live in the Great Northeast. Hockey is a popular sport because it snows 11 months out of the year. And lots of boys that went to these prep schools with great hockey programs went on to college and could not get any sports scholarships for hockey. Meanwhile, females that did go to play hockey, play ice hockey, full contact ice hockey, were able to get scholarships. So that's another thing we have to worry about. All right, is my daughter, who's a good runner, good basketball player, good whatever, is she going to get beat up by a boy for a woman's scholarship to a prestigious university? You know, this is things you have to think about. These are things we have to nip it in the bud before it gets out of hand. But, of course, everything else got out of hand. But, anyways, enough about sports. Now let's turn our attention to the great city of New York. The once great city, headed by the most awful mayor, Bill de Blasio, is no longer, he's not a mayor, he is an advocate. You know, he's one of these rabble-rousers, the street garbage that got elected mayor of New York. And now the newest thing is to close Rikers Island. Rikers Island is the holding facility or the city jail for tens of thousands of the worst of the worst in the city of New York. I've heard horror stories about Rikers Island. I luckily was never a visitor or a resident of Rikers Island. But the city council had decided to vote on and approve the closing of Rikers Island. So now where are you going to put these tens of thousands of inmates awaiting trial, awaiting sentencing, or awaiting to be sent up the river? Now, the term up the river came from the New York City sending their inmates from the city of New York up the Hudson River to Sing Sing Prison for processing in the state facility. So when they say somebody's going up the river, guess what? 150 years ago, they did used to literally go up the river to Sing Sing. But anyways, the city wants to close Rikers Island, and now they have to find facilities to house these wonderful people. So look for a big, ugly jail coming to your neighborhood. So the question is, what becomes Rikers Island? Well, you and I both know they're going to develop that into multi-million-dollar high-rises or housing projects. I mean, one thing about these liberals, they love money too, but they won't let you know. Bill, don't be fooled, folks. Bill de Blasio is a millionaire. So the people of New York wants to close Rikers Island, set these people free. Meanwhile, we have a advocacy group or a watchdog for the New York Police Department called the Citizen Complaint Review Board. This is a organization that main job is to screw cops. It was set up about 30 years ago. I said, even before I was got hired for the police department, I was still in high school. I said, this is a bad idea. You have these civilians who have not gone through a police academy, who don't know the law, who don't know exactly what happened, taking these complaints from these from the street garbage that have a record longer than your arm, to say that the officer did some wrong. Well, anyways, it turns out the New York Post reported that the CCRB is nothing but a kangaroo court. It's affected with bias against the cops. And then the former director's name is Richard Ermey, referred to the police officers as pigs. And now they have, that's right, the head of the Civilian Complaint Review Board called New York's finest pigs. And this is the guy who's supposed to oversee the review CCRB to make sure it's fair and impartial. And believe it or not, even though these are a bunch of cop haters who hate the cops, want these see these cops lose their jobs, guess what? Most of these complaints are unfounded. Well, anyways, since this is a civilian court, not guided by any laws or normalcy, they are now taking complaints and having hearings for incidents where there's no complainant. Literally, the somebody was stopped by the police and was let go because of they were not charged with any crime because they weren't the people looking for, or they had nothing. They didn't complain, but a third party complained, and they took the complaint. But anyways, we're going to come back with the celebration of the political cesspool, 15 long years. God bless you. All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump again drawing criticism from people who, in this case, are upset about the fact that he has likened the House impeachment inquiry to a lynching. The president tweeting the controversial reference just a short time ago, saying Democrats are denying him due process, fairness, or any legal rights. He added in the tweet, quote, "All Republicans must remember what they're witnessing here, but we will win." Illinois Democrat Bobby Rush firing back on Twitter, saying, quote, "You think this impeachment is a lynching? Then what the H is wrong with you?" From point to counterpoint, the top Republican in the House says of the impeachment inquiry,
"Is the hatred that great? Are they that upset about an election?"
That's Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and this is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits.
Come on, Fred, maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety. Because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
The familiar sounds of a union strike in the Windy City as teachers remain out of work for a fourth straight day.
We are the union!
We are the union!
Up and down reports coming from the inside of the contract talks. The mayor, Lori Lightfoot, saying she's been encouraged by progress, but she's expressing concern because the union's been pulling some members of its bargaining team away from the negotiating table today. A Colorado mother who portrayed her young daughter as being terminally ill is now accused of murdering the child. An indictment against Kelly Turner says she faked a series of medical conditions for 7-year-old Olivia Gant. Investigators say Turner gave Olivia medications that she wasn't supposed to have before she ended medical care for her in 2017. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back on 7-5 Radio. You know, there would not be any 7-5 Radio if there wasn't the political cesspool. I'm going to spend the rest of my time this week to talk about the political cesspool and what it means to me. Things happen for a reason. When I was living overseas, 2005, 2006, or 2007, I read Jared Taylor's book, Paid with Good Intentions. That is a very, very, very good book. That book opened my eyes to a lot. And I said, you know what? This guy was saying in public or on paper that I was thinking in private. So, you know, and I wanted to do some more research on Jared Taylor, and I came across his website, American Renaissance or Amarin.com, and there was a links page. And on the links page was a group called the Council of Conservative Citizens. I said, oh, well, that's right up my alley, too. I'm a citizen, and I'm conservative. So I went to that page, and I had a whole bunch of news articles, and then there was more links on the side of the page. And one was the political cesspool. I was like, oh, I gotta click on this. So then sure enough, there was the political cesspool website. And I started listening to some of the archive shows. And I said, wow, this is unreal. I said, this guy is putting this out on FCC licensed airwaves. I mean, this is something I never heard of because I've always listened to Rush Limbaugh back in the day, Howard Stern back in the day, and eventually as time went on, I got older, Opie and Anthony came to the scene, I stumbled across Neil Bortz and Michael Savage, but James was saying things that just blew my mind. He was talking about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and I was like, wow. So I emailed him and said, hey, I'm emailing you from, I live in Europe. I just stumbled across your show. I think you're doing great. And he emailed me back saying, thank you. So a couple more shows went by and I said, hey, great show. Keep it up. And he replied back. And mind you, I had no idea who Mr. Edwards was. And Mr. Edwards had no clue who I was. I mean, I could have been the neighbor down the street saying I was living in Europe. So anyways, as one Friday night, actually, Saturday morning at literally 2 o'clock local time, I called the political cesspool, and I was nervous as can be, and Mr. Edwards it was as nice as can be. So after that, I said, hey, Mr. Edwards, how about I become your European correspondent? Now, once again, James had no clue who I was. He didn't know if I was a plant from the SPLC, ADL, if I was some nut job. He said, sure, okay. So that's where Scoop Stanton was born. Now, I got the nickname Scoop from Winston Smith when he was when the show was on 5 days a week, and he was a co-host, and he just came up with the nickname Scoop, and it stuck. So anyways, I became the European correspondent, and some of the things I talked about was fried fish. During one Lenten season, my parents came to visit, and it was Friday, and I was living in a town right on the ocean, so we got some fish, and it was literally fried, scales and all. My dad ate it like gangbusters. My mom and I passed. Also talked about my trip to Morocco with my wife. This could have been the precursor to the movie Taken. The boat from Europe to Africa is empty, while the boat from Africa to Europe was full. And I'll probably never go there again unless I have I'm escorted by the U.S. Marine Corps. I also talked about the Muslim invasion of Europe. Mind you, this is going well over a decade ago. So, you know, we talked about that first. And then when I came over back to the United States, I was still the D.C. correspondent, even though I was living in Hampton Roads at the time. But some of the topics we covered was the death of Officers Lou and Ramos from December 2014, the reporter that was shot in Roanoke, Virginia, I also attended Obama McCain rallies, and I was stared down by some very angry people because I had a sign that said "Right in Ron Paul." Also, I went to CPAC as a credentialed member of the media a couple years in a row, and then when I was with Red 42, they did the media credentials because I trashed CPAC, which they didn't particularly care for. But again, we're being honest, because I'm not going to sit there and kiss their tuchus. Some other highlights. I'll just go through this real quickly. We brought Jim Lancey on board. James said, "Hey, talk to this guy, see if he's good to go as a guest." We brought him as a guest, and I said, "Hey, he's good to go." And then Sean Bergen, back in 2014, he was let go from News 12 in New York for telling the truth. And I hit up on Facebook. I was like, "Hey, we got this radio show. We want your book on a guest." So he replied, "Okay." So and he never left either. We also talked about the Pulse nightclub. That was the shooting in Orlando, Florida, where a Muslim went in and slaughtered a whole bunch of people just going about their business, not harming anybody. Now, this really sticks out in my mind for two reasons. One, the media totally ignored this story. Once they heard it was a Muslim that shot these people because of their lifestyle, because they were homosexuals, they just dropped it like a bad habit. Now, if it was some white Christian that did it, we'd still be hearing about this. So, but James, Jim Lancey, and Sean talked about the shooting at the Pulse nightclub despite our disagreements with the homosexual lifestyle, because again, these people are just going about their business, not harming anybody, just having a good time, and somebody took that right away. We also talked about the Dylann Roof incident. Of course, the Council of Conservative Citizens and the political cesspool got roped into that mess. And then also there's Charlottesville. That was a very groundbreaking story. We had boots on the ground. Eddie the Bombardier Miller was there. I was there after the fact, thank God, because it was just an absolute war zone. And, you know, the Virginia State Police and the Charlottesville Police did an awful job. It was a setup. And two troopers died in a helicopter crash that day. And that did not have to happen. So, you know, Terry McAuliffe has the blood of those troopers on his hands. And then as things kept going on, I decided to branch off. I said, you know what? You know, we're the only live show on Saturdays. Things are always happening. Like Charlottesville, we could have gone about 8 hours, 10 hours straight. And then I said, you know what? Why don't we branch off? So I talked to James and said, listen, I want to start my own show for a couple reasons. One, because of my new job, I'm unable to call in every week or provide news every week, number one. Number two, if there's a breaking story like the shooting of Lewin Ramos or Charlottesville or something else, you know, by all means, please use that fourth hour. So we nicknamed it the fourth hour of the political cesspool. Now, I went to James Edwards to get his blessing for the simple fact I wanted to branch off. Now, I didn't have to get it, but I wanted to get it, let him know, like, listen, I'm not doing this just to spite you. I'm doing this just to supplement what's out there, because there's just so much out there and nobody's saying it except us. So I talked to Sam Bushman, and he told me what the equipment I need to buy and the money I need to use up front. And then I asked Jim Lancey. I was like, Jim, I want to start the show and, you know, talk about more about the advocacy for law enforcement to be the fourth hour of the political cesspool. He's like, okay. So Red 42 was born. Now, Red 42 was Jim Lancey's old unit number when he was with the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department. Red 42 was the worst sector for the Bridgeport Police Department. And, of course, political correctness took over Bridgeport Police Department, and they no longer have a red sector. I believe they call it a purple sector. So we did that for a year. Then Mr. Lancey got bored with it. Or correction, he decided to pursue other interests, i.e. he got bored with it and didn't want to come on every week. So he called it quits. At that time, we had Walter Yerkew come on as a guest on The Political Cesspool, and we had him come on as a guest host on Red 42 with a friend, Jay, from the South, because I couldn't make it. I think my wife was home or it was Thanksgiving or something. So He did very well for his first time. Well, actually, he's about third or fourth time on radio on this network. And he did great. And I said, hey, Walt, Mr. Lance is he's pursuing other interests, i.e. got bored. So would you like to do the show? He's like, okay. So we changed the name to 7-5 Radio. We took that name from the movie The 7-5, the notoriety. But I told Walter, and he agreed with me 100%. He's like, we're not going to talk about The 7-5, you know, every single week because it's going to get boring. And we're coming to our third break. I hear Blind Faith going in the background. We lost Ginger Break here recently. But anyways, we'll finish up with the rest of the Political Cesspool's 15th anniversary. Stay put, everybody.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Just a scoop today. Sam Bushman had business out of town, and we're celebrating the Political Cesspool's 15th anniversary. If you're in Memphis, try searching the local karaoke bar or the Lorraine Motel. James might be having a celebration. But anyways, I could talk this about 5 hours of the Political Cesspool, what it means to me. But anyways, besides meeting great people such as James and Eddie and Art and Winston, all the rest of the cats, I also received an education. The South has a long-standing tradition of being honorable people. That's one thing I learned from the political cesspool. The South is about honor and tradition. Secondly, the Confederate flag honors that tradition. The Confederate flag is a source of pride, source of honesty, source of commitment to Southern culture, Southern values, and not a bunch of toothless hicks going to a Klan rally or a neo-Nazi rally or trying to lynch black people. So the Confederate flag is a sign of that honor tradition from the South. I mean, you know, nobody says, oh, I want the Northern values. No, they like the good Southern values and the good Southern cooking. Anyways, that's why on Red 42, I had James do the voiceovers that says, here's two Southern boys from metropolitan New York City, because both Jim Lansing and myself love the South. Also, I learned lots about the Civil War. President Lincoln just trashed the Constitution by throwing reporters in jail and suspending habeas corpus. Now, if look up habeas corpus, because if I try to spell it, it'll be wrong. Anyways, secession was not about slavery, it's states' rights. The South wanted to get away from the North. They said, listen, we want to do what we want to do. We want to be we don't want to be ruled by you. But Lincoln says, well, too bad. So, and then I also learned that some of the greatest military minds in history fought for the Confederate States of America. You have Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and you have Nathan Bedford Forrest. Also, I learned Nathan Bedford Forrest was born a rich man. He could have not served in the Confederate Army, but he decided to enlist. He didn't. He could have enlisted as an officer, but he said, no, I'm going to come in as a buck private. But he made him way up to general. So kudos to General Nathan Bedford Forrest. But they don't. All they tell you is that all the media tells you, both the left and the right, including conservative talk radio, was that Nathan Bedford Forrest was a member of the Democrat Party and he founded the KKK. Well, guess what? I mean, he was a one of the greatest military minds known to man. Also, I learned that the Zionists, they want to ruin this nation. They are the ones that run the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU. They're the ones that keep ripping crosses off the public square. And they're the ones that push this garbage agenda of homosexuality, communism, socialism in our schools, in our institutions of higher learning, on the media. And so I learned that Israel is not our friend. I mean, all I hear is like, oh, Israel has no greater friend than the United States. Well, guess what? You know, Israel's best friend is Israel. And you know what? Fine, but don't, you know, leave us out of this. Also, I learned about the USS Liberty incident. In 1967, Israel attacked a U.S.-flagged naval vessel, the USS Liberty. The USS Liberty was a surveillance ship, not a warship. It had very light armament and very few weapons. So Israel, they said, you know what? If we sink this boat, and we'll blame it on Egypt, and then we'll get the U.S. involved in the war against Egypt. But guess what? I didn't learn about this until I joined the political cesspool. And get this, folks, I served 8 years in the U.S. Navy. Now, granted, when I was in the service, we remembered September 11th. We remembered the attack on the USS Cole and other things. We were taught naval traditions of the first 13 black commissioned officers, Dory Miller, who was a black cook who shot down a plane, and, you know, the first black to do this, the first Hispanic did that, more Hispanic sailors won the Congressional Medal of Honor, so on and so forth. But nothing, I mean nothing about the USS Liberty. So, you know, if I hear somebody on the radio talking about how great Israel is, I'll bring up the Liberty incident. But anyways, like I said before, things happen for a reason, because, you know, James brought me on. Which I thought was a good thing. He hooked up with Sam, gets syndicated on Liberty News Radio, which was a good thing. And we brought on Sean Bergen, which is another good thing. And just the people I've met, I consider family. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Art Frith, the late Bill Rowland, Sean Bergen, Winston Smith, Sam Bushman, Matt the Copperhead, Jim Lancia, then now Walter Yerkew, and our not-so-sexy intern Mike Guerin. And then some of the guests we've had through our different shows. Charlie LaDuff, who I still remain in contact with today. New York Times author and former Secret Service uniform officer Gary Byrne. J.B. Gunner. And more recently, Lonnell Harris. I mean, I would not have met these people without James Edward and the political cesspool. And I consider them family. That's why I used to came on and said, hello, political cesspool, family. There's almost nothing I wouldn't do for these people because, again, I consider them brothers. I consider them family. But anyways, I say things happen for a reason because you got me in D.C., James in Memphis, Sam in Utah, Sean in New York, Jim Lansing in a shack somewhere, Walter outside of Chattanooga with our not-so-sexy intern, and we just all come together to, fight for the cause. But here's how tight our brotherhood is. Back when the Dylann Roof saga happened, James and I called Sean and said, "Hey, Sean, we want you to get your a job back in media. Make some real money, not this gig. And so if you want to take a powder, go right ahead." He said, "No, I'm in for the fight. They want to fight this Irish mofo. So bring it on." So good for that. Good for Sean. So then Sean told us he's going to go start a show on WLINY.com. So what do? We put his show on blast. We kept saying it till we were blue in the face. And Sean had Sam and James as a guest. I called in as a guest, even though I had no clue what the show topic was because I was at work. And Sean called me one day and says, "You know what? I'm getting emails. I'm getting texts from as far away as California." And that's the power of the political cesspool. And that's why I said things happen for a reason because, I mean, just even with Walter Yerkew, I mean, when I was with the police department, they said Michael Dowd and his cronies are the worst pieces of scum on the face of the earth. And now I'm doing a show on this network with Walter Yerkew and had Mike Dowd and Adam Diaz on as guests. And, I just thank the good Lord above for everything that's happened. But anyways, finally, I just want to say congratulations, James. 15 years is a long time. We've been through hell and back, and we've only begun to fight. You have to be one of the few shows that has actually two spinoff shows, 7-5 Radio and Eddie Miller's Blood River Radio that occurs on before the political cesspool. So we offer 6 hours a week of programming because of the political cesspool. But some of the other great, not so great moments on the cesspool, I remember there was the snake in the studio. Then there's the caller. They call in live on Saturdays to always talk about penguins. What are some other things? In 2007, I walked in the studio and the place thought James and Eddie forgot I was coming. Then there's a time Jeff Melton was hosting the cesspool and somebody walked in the studio live on the air. And then there's a time myself and Sean Bergen met at Geno Steaks in Philadelphia. And Sean said, "There's a band playing in the background. I'm going to have Scoop go over and give $20 for them to stop." And then he said, for show prep, I was doing research, and Scoop was stuffing his face with a cheesesteak sandwich. Well, guess what? That was a very, very good cheesesteak sandwich. What are some other great parts? We also were the first network or first station to scoop the war on cops. Sean Bergen said that when Lou and Ramos were shot and killed, he said he was going to the scene. He said he wants to put this on the show. And Sean and I knew that this was going to be big. So we scooped it before everybody else. And then Monday morning, guess what? There's a war on cops. Well, guess what? We had that 3 days in the can. Another good episode was, James and I always talk about who's better. Frankie Valli, the singer from the Four Seasons from the early 60s, or Jimmy Page, the guitarist from Led Zeppelin from the 60s and 70s. And anyways, we did this on air with Charlotte Duff, a Pulitzer Prize winning best-selling author. But oh, Samson Jim Morrison was better. But anyways, folks, that's all the time we have. Congratulations to James and the rest of the political cesspool family, including yours truly. Here's the 15 more years of making liberals' lives hell. This is Scoop standing for Walter Yerkew, telling everybody you can make a difference. Go out and make it. So long, everybody.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.